We now turn to hopes of restoring native plants, preserving bird habitats, and helping farmers cut pollution. The Agriculture Department has approved the first set of projects under a new program designed to get the rest of us investing in conservation. Congress squeezed the Regional Conservation Partnership Program into last year's mega farm bill. For more on the new program and its projects, we turn to Jason Weller. He's chief of USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
So first of all, I've heard your secretary say this is a new approach to conservation. Why?
So traditionally, we've taken a federal approach in many cases to addressing water quality issues. So, for example, here in the Washington, D.C. region, there's been a large focus, multi-state focus on the Chesapeake Bay. And the federal government as a whole has taken a very prescriptive, this is the approach we need to take, here's where we're going to invest, and here's what we're going to do. What the Regional Conservation Partnership Program does is actually turns that completely inside out, and instead it encourages partnerships to develop and really strongly encourages state and local governments to work with nonprofits, for-profits, and importantly, crucially, but with farmers and ranchers on a voluntary basis, and invites them all to come together and propose projects in their communities, in their areas of a large watershed basin like here in the Chesapeake Bay, and asks, what do you want to get done? And then invests in that partnership approach alongside USDA to help deliver on-the-ground conservation assistance.
So I understand that there can be as many as a dozen different types of groups, whether that's groups of farmers, local communities, and whatnot, coming together for an individual project.
On average, so we awarded, with this first round of applications, 115 projects across the United States. And there's a project in literally every state in the union, including Puerto Rico. And the average number of partnering organizations in each of these projects is around 11 partners. But some of these projects we awarded, for example, in the Great Lakes area, had a huge response. And there's one project in particular had over 40 individual partnering organizations. They're part of a collaborative approach to investing in conservation and delivering results on the ground.
And what have you seen in these sorts of collaborative grassroots projects that contrast or that take a different approach from the traditional projects that you've undertaken?
So it's really one of the things we've challenged these folks with, and what's really exciting is this, I think, expectation that Congress had that the partners were, instead of in just not only devising the projects, were also going to bring contributions to the table. And so one of the challenges we laid out is let's invest in these projects together, but at least on a one-to-one basis. So in this case, the federal government, we had through the Natural Resource Conservation Service, we had over $370 million that we could invest across these projects, you know, across the United States. And what's exciting in this first round is that partners really did bring significant contributions, including cash, but also in-kind assistance, so where they're bringing their own engineers, their own biologists, their own agronomists, their own planning staff to go out and help install these conservation systems, a total value of $400 million on their side. So really, this first round of investment was almost $800 million in locally led conservation that now is going to be addressing water quality, water quantity, wildlife habitat, air quality, energy conservation, you name it, in a lot of innovative projects across the United States.
I want to ask you about that innovation. You said that typically there's a prescriptive approach from the national or state government, telling the people on the ground what to do. Are these groups taking different approaches to tackling the same problem, for example, the Chesapeake Bay?
Yes, they are. And so what's really interesting, like here in the Chesapeake Bay, traditionally cities and counties and public works, and particularly water utilities, have really not been partnering. They've all been focused on what they can do individually for water quality. But there are projects now in the Chesapeake Bay where, for example, the city of Baltimore and its water utility and the drinking water reservoir that's really crucial to the city of Baltimore is now one of the core partners to a project that's now going up the river and addressing land treatments with farmers to reduce losses of sediments and nutrients from the farm fields that ultimately will benefit people who drink water in the city of Baltimore. And to have a water utility up front being proactive in a collaborative approach, working alongside conservation groups and farm organizations, I think is really innovative and a new approach to conservation.
We're speaking with Jason Weller. He's chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service at USDA. Now, you're working with lots of different partners as opposed to just one. How do the mechanics work? I mean, who's the ultimate boss of a project like this? And who holds the others accountable?
So each project, they had to get together on their own, and they, I guess, self-nominated a lead sponsor. So every project has a lead sponsor that we work with at NRCS to coordinate and to just design the project to ensure it's getting done on the ground. Then we look to that lead sponsor to be then the one, in essence, like a general contractor, to work then with its other partners to assure that they're delivering what they've committed to deliver, they're bringing their resources to the table, and ultimately both NRCS and the lead sponsor is going to be then accountable to assure these projects are successful.
And how did you evaluate the types of projects coming to you? I understand that there were more than 600 grant proposals in this first round. Obviously, you're going to have more rounds, and the people who weren't chosen this round perhaps can try again. But what made the 115 stand out?
So to your point, it was extremely competitive. So, yes, we had in the first round, it was a two-phase application process, over 600 applications. In the end, we can only fund about 1 in 6 applications. And so there are 4 core criteria that we came up with that we really were looking for people to push the envelope on. And those were, first, identifying solutions. So we really wanted to have near-term solutions, so whether you're focused on water quality or water quantity. We won't want something that, you know, we hope for benefits someday to be generated 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We really want something done concrete and measurable solutions for communities, for example, for water quality in the near term. The second criteria was bringing a strong participation. We really wanted to have a robust partnership that will help the resilience of these projects, but also, again, bring creativity and additional resources, contributions to the table. The third core criteria then was contributions, that partnerships that really brought more than just ideas, but actually brought on-the-ground boots to go out in the field and work with farmers to do the designing and delivery of conservation, or broad cash assistance to help lever the federal resources, is a core attribute. And the fourth main criteria was innovation. We really wanted to push the envelope and see how do we bring new ideas to the table to assure we get timely, cost-effective solutions for whatever the resource concern may be. So again, the 4 criteria were solutions, participation, contribution, and innovation.
And for how long are these projects on average?
So they're up to 5 years in total. I'd say the average is probably about 3 years in length, but they are allowed to, under the new Farm Bill, to have these project agreements in place for up to 5 years.
And I understand over 5 years you expect to spend $1.2 billion. Will the project sunset? Will the program, rather, sunset after 5 years, or is this a permanent thing?
So sunset. It's only authorized through fiscal year 2018. And the total federal investment is about $1.2 billion. But because we've laid out this marker of at least a 1-to-1 contribution match, it's really about a $2.4 billion investment in locally led conservation.
And so you'll be looking to these first projects to prove that the program itself works, and so you can continue in the long run.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things I've received feedback on from supporters in Congress, but also externally, too, are really excited about this approach, is that a lot of respects, even though $1.2 billion is not really a quote-unquote pilot, they really see this as a new approach to conservation delivery in the Farm Bill. And so to the extent this is successful, that we can demonstrate in a shared approach that this is a great manner to do this locally-led conservation solution, that they potentially look to this, expand this in the future Farm Bill. But we just first want to see how this works in the first 4 years we have to deliver this.
Jason Weller is chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service at USDA. Jason, it's been a pleasure and good luck.
Thank you very much, Emily.